Hopefully you found Matthew chapter 14 by now. And did I tell you 14? I just told you. Okay, good. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Ever feel like you just need to get alone once in a while? Well, that was Jesus. We're coming off of feeding the 5,000. The next story is this. Many times we separate ourselves and an adult will say, I need some me time. Well, that's not why Jesus was getting away for some me time. He was getting away to, the Bible says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, it says. When the evening was come, he was there alone, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And Peter was come down out of the ship, walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this passage. So much in this passage. God, I pray that this morning you would lead us, that you would speak to your children's heart today. God, our desire is to serve you and to glorify you. And Lord, I know so many times we cannot do that while in the boat. Lord, help us to take a step of faith. Lord, help us to leave our comforts, leave our protection, and draw closer to thee. Lord, we need you here today. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would once again touch our hearts and lead us and guide us. Lord, if there's anything between us and thee, I pray that, Lord, right now we would confess those things. Lord, forgive us of our pride, our bitterness, our self-righteousness. God, we want to put those things aside that we could hear solely from you. Lord, we love you. We are thankful for your mercy. We're thankful for your grace, your long-suffering. Thank you for working with us. Once again, I ask that you'd meet with us here today, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I would say a familiar story. I mean, who doesn't know about, a familiar story nonetheless about Jesus walking on the water. Say, what makes it so familiar? That just doesn't happen often. I mean, we could try it this morning. I would dare suggest that we would do really well this morning if we walked across the pond. I bet we could do it. But that's not what was happening here. No, the sea was not frozen that day. Very much alive. The wind tossing about the entire ship. No, that wasn't the case. The story is covered in Mark chapter 6 and John chapter 6 also, and not just in Matthew chapter 14. But something particular about Matthew chapter 14 sets it different than the other two passages. We're given a little bit more information. Jesus still calms the sea in those other two passages, but here we're told about Peter. Not only did Jesus this day walk on water, but a man just like you and I broke natural laws and walked on water. You know, there's always those maybe getting to know you questions to create conversation, and we'll ask our teenagers or young adults, what superpower would you like? Most come down to one of two things. I would like to be invisible or fly, right? I mean, you would like to try those things. I think flying would really be neat. No traffic, right? I mean, you just got to watch out for planes and geese is pretty much it. Man. So why do we want to do that? Because it's the breaking of natural laws. People don't fly outside of airplanes. People don't walk on water. You can try it, but you will sink, guaranteed. What we're talking about here is not the ability to walk on water. This is not a science lesson. This is not a science project. How can we walk on water? No. This morning's message is on faith. Go with me back to Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. Why were they in the ship? Because God told them to get in the ship. Constrain means to urge. Jesus urges his disciples to get into the ship. Does Jesus know everything? To go before him under the other side. Christ sends his disciples in the boat, in the ship, ahead. He needs a little time to talk with the Lord. Talk with the Father. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. What would seem like Jesus is somewhat disconnected now from the disciples. But we know that that is not true. He was very much in tune with what was going on. A storm arises, the Bible says in verse 24, but now the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. The wind was contrary. I've flown a few times before. I do not like when the pilot or the stewardess, I don't like when I see the stewardess make their way to the front of the plane and strap in. Say, why not? Because that means one of my least favorite words in the entire English language, turbulence, shows up. Dom, are you familiar with turbulence? Tom's flown a little bit before. Do you like turbulence? No. I've had the privilege of flying with Charity Huber, who enjoys turbulence. I don't like turbulence. I don't like turbulence because it feels like the thing I'm in is about to fall out of the sky. Now, I know that's not going to happen. Well, I feel like it's not going to happen. But way back in there, you think about all those news things of, you know, planes crashing, and it's like, this is it. I'm going to be part of the 215 people, all of which are at the bottom of the sea. That's what I feel like. I've flown many a times. Not one time have I crashed. But you feel like it. Here, similar situation. There they are in the ship. A storm comes, and now the ship is being moved about side to side. These are fishermen by trade. They're familiar with that. We were not alarmed at all. Anybody run any errands yesterday in the vehicle? Not physically run, but drive around, right? There was some snow cover on the ground. We live in Western New York. We know how to navigate snow. Oh, you take a Texan, and you put 2 inches of snow on the ground, and they're driving off the road. They have no idea how to handle such things. Such are the fishermen. There they are in a ship, in the sea, a familiar sea, familiar waters, familiar circumstances. This is what they grew up in. Yet they were afraid, telling me this isn't your normal storm. How would you feel being in the middle of the sea, being tossed with waves? Would you ask yourself the question, what are we doing here? Ever ask yourself that question? What on earth am I doing here? their answer to that question is what? Jesus put us here. And where is Jesus? He's left us all alone. Sometimes in the middle of our storms, we feel like we're all alone. Sometimes we feel like, God, you led me to this place and only to abandon me. But we know that's not true. So it is in our circumstance here. Jesus comes and checks on them. If our children are quiet for any length of time at our house, it's abnormal. I haven't heard from Sophie and Hudson in a while. We better go check on them. And sure enough, someone's painted or something. The dog has no hair, something to that degree, right? It's strange that Jesus, knowing what's going on, Jesus, listen now, I'll say that again, Jesus, knowing what's going on, comes out to meet them. He didn't take the fastest boat. He just chose to walk. So here we have Christ in the midst of the storm coming to check on them. Understand, in the midst of your storm, although you may not see it, Christ is not far off. Tonight we're going to be talking about Jehovah Shammah, our last name of the Lord, and it means the Lord is there. There's no place you and I can go that God is not there. That's a comfort. Even in the midst of our storms, God is there. I want to show you a passage. Hold your hand in Matthew chapter 14. Turn with me over to Psalm 77. How many of you have a favorite passage of Scripture? Favorite story? Favorite Bible character? Amaris, who's your favorite Bible character? It's tough, I know. Ruth. Pretty good choice. Not too many girls, then, when we ask them, hey, who's your favorite Bible character? Jezebel, love her. We don't hear that. But there's certain stories that just, man, just grab a hold of us, right? Peter walking on the water is one for me. I love this story. I love reading it. I love studying it. And I feel like every time I study it, the Lord shows me something different. See, that's the power of the Word of God. Even though you're maybe, we could all say that we're pretty familiar with the story. We know how it goes and we know how it ends. Maybe the Lord will show you something new. This is what the Lord showed me. Psalm 77 and verse 14. It says this, Thou art the God that doest wonders. Psalm 77, 14. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people. The sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. He says, think about that. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Look at this. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. God is able to lead us even through the sea. The Bible says that his paths and his way go to places that you and I could never go. See, I can't walk on water. If I want to go out to the middle of Lake Ontario, oh, maybe I could make it a little ways. I saw Mrs. Houck here. Where's Mrs. Houck? Is she out in the... There you are. Mrs. Houck, is some of the Lake Ontario frozen? About how far out? 50 feet. And then after that, it turns to open water. So maybe you could get 50 feet out, but if you wanted to get to the middle of Lake Ontario by foot, you could not do that. God says his paths are in the sea. And sure enough, he shows us that right here in Matthew chapter 14. He can make a path, a way, wherever he sees fit. There's nothing off the table for him. There's nothing that he cannot do. So often in our darkest and hardest of hours, it is the Lord that is preparing you for your greatest step of faith. See, we look at Matthew chapter 14 and our stomach begins to turn, feeling that ship tossing back and forth. Maybe you've been in something similar to that, holding on to the edge of the boat, getting rid of lunch, making things lighter. Maybe you can feel that in your stomach. Or maybe you can understand and recognize that in the midst of your hardest and darkest trial of your life, recognizing that God is not too far off and you have an opportunity. Now listen, you have an opportunity to possibly take your greatest step of faith. George Mueller says this. George Mueller, no stranger to faith. He says this, God delights to increase the faith of His children. We ought, instead of wanting no trials before victory, no exercise for patience, to be willing to take them from God's hand as a means. I say, and say it deliberately, this is George Mueller speaking, trials, obstacles, difficulties, and sometimes defeats are the food for faith. We should take them out of His hands as evidences of His love and care for us and developing more and more that faith which He is seeking to strengthen in us. Peter's about to experience something that he would not be able to do on dry land. It was because of the storm. Number one, are you in the midst of a storm? Are you in the midst of, just like the ship, being tossed side to side? What I would consider out of control. Please remember this, that God is not too far off. He's coming to check on you. In Matthew chapter 14, if we would turn back there, in verse 26, as our story continues, and when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, hey, how could you take a bad situation and make it worse? Number one, they're in the middle of a ship being tossed aside, fearing for their life, and then someone, it's not like the Lord prefaced it and said, hey, I'm going to send you out in the boat. I'll come out to meet you. These things do not happen. Again, let's our main vehicle for travel is not ship. We don't. I try not to be in boats for this very reason. But imagine there you are flying in a plane and you look out your window. You open that little window view and there you see someone. That would be strange. No cape. No leotard suit. Just a person. That's what they're experiencing here. They're in the middle of the ship being tossed about, and all of a sudden, someone comes walking up towards them. The Bible says this, in verse 26, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Hey, can we take some consolation and comfort in the midst of our trouble, knowing that God is right there? Does He not say the same to us? Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. I'm here with you. Verse 28, our second point this morning. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. He says, God, if you're God, if you're who you say you are, call me out. He pretty much said, prove it. Malachi 3:10, right? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in thine house. And the next phrase, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you. God wants us to prove Him. The Lord Jesus Christ was encouraged. Hey, sometimes he would turn people away, tell people no. But here, when Peter says, hey, if that's really you, call me out to you. Peter wanted proof. Hebrews chapter 11, what I would consider a familiar verse. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, when I get there, I'll read it. But without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, listen now, can we think about Peter in the boat? Can we think about us in our life? But without faith, it is impossible to please him, right? Here, Peter's in the boat. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God saw some faith in Peter just by Peter even asking, hey, if that's really you, prove it. Prove it. God wants to prove things to us. We saw in Malachi chapter 3, he wants to prove things about giving. Pastor Seaman mentioned that a little bit. He wants to prove things about principles in your life. He wants to prove things about faith in your life. He wants to prove himself to you. Unfortunately, all too often we doubt. It's because we've never proven it. We've never proven the Lord. We've never called the Lord out on his promises. I think it's a good thing to prove the Lord once in a while. Now, I don't think it's a good idea to stand in front of the train and say, all right, God, if you're truly who you say you are, this train will go right through me and I'll be okay. There's a very important second part to this, and we'll talk about that in a second. But the Lord, or Peter, is asking God to prove who he is. But God not only wants us to prove him, but these steps of faith also prove us. When Peter even suggests this option. In problem solving, I don't know if there's a, maybe they teach this in college, maybe I missed the class or whatever. But in problem solving, we look at the issue, the problem, and we come up with possible solutions, right? We figure out what isn't always the easiest path of solution, but what will get the quickest result and with the least damage, right? I don't know where Peter came up with the idea of, hey, now's a good time to go out there. That's not how I think. I wouldn't have suggested this. I would suggest, Lord, how about you come to me and make this stop? That's what I would say. But instead, Peter suggests, you know what it did? It proved where his heart was. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Again, holding your hand in Matthew chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, look at verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. Listen to what he's talking about. In the wilderness. Were those happy times, Brooke? Were those happy times? No. Wandering around, eating the same thing for the last 40 years. I mean, barring one quail meal, but that's about it. That sounds awful. He says this, as I led thee the last 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee. Maybe the trials is to prove not just God to us, but us to God. Look at Psalm 26. Psalm 26. Look at verse 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Tell me about Peter's heart. Well, I'll tell you some things about Peter. To even suggest to get, hey, if it's really you, call me out. He had some faith. He had some trust. What will you do? Go to John chapter 6, the similar passage. John chapter 6 and verse 5. Right before the walking upon the sea, we see the feeding of the 5,000. John chapter 6 and verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Hey, here's the difficulty, right? Here's the difficult part of your life. And he goes to Philip and he says, "Hey, Philip, what do you think we should do? How do we have money?" Why is he asking him that? He's just proving him. Look at verse 6. And he said, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Maybe the trial in your life not only is to prove God to you, but maybe God is just seeing what you would do. Maybe it's a trial of your faith. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 5. "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves." Prove your own selves. "Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except he be reprobates?" He says, prove your own selves. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. Three words, prove all things. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. So many doubt the truths of God, not because that the truths of God have ever failed, but because you have yet to prove them. So many doubt the truths of God, not because the truths of God have ever failed, but because you just have never proved them. James 5:8 says, "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." It's good to know that God is not far off. He's making his way. He's looking for us to prove him, maybe him to prove us. So, here we are, Matthew chapter 14. The storm is going, Peter's in the boat, he sees Jesus coming. Well, he sees somebody coming. He says, "Don't worry, it's just me." And Peter says, "If it's really you, call me out." And here's the important part. Christ responds. Verse 29, "And he said, come." Peter is not allowed to get out of the boat until Jesus says, come. Is Jesus Christ the Lord? He is. If I went out and I said, "If Jesus Christ is God, I can walk on this water." Nope, not unless he calls me out to him. Hey, it was certainly a step of faith, and God could and would and ends up doing those things. But please understand this, except the Lord would bid him to come, it would be a complete failure. We might come up with some crazy things that we want to do for the Lord. "Lord, what do you think of this idea?" And until we hear, "Come," we don't move on them. Otherwise, we'll just sink. But it starts with one step. An invitation of Christ is necessary. The step of faith did one thing and one thing only. It brought Peter closer to Christ. Look at what it says in verse 29. "And when he said, come, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." hey, in your life when the storm of life is thrashing you around side to side and God bids you to come and take a step of faith, understand that that is going to do one thing and one thing only. That's just going to get you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what happened here, but I wonder what Peter was thinking. What were the negative thoughts going through? Certainly fear. He had fear even before he got out of the boat. Maybe even some doubts. Maybe some criticisms. Maybe John would say, oh, look at Peter, always asking for things. Number one, I would say this is unnatural. The characteristics of our steps of faith, right? God places something in your heart. And there you stand, contemplating it all. He said, come, but I'm afraid. I have doubts. What is everyone else going to think? This is not natural. And many a times that stops us so much that we sit right back down in the boat, never taking the first step. But there were some positive things. Oh, can I encourage you in this? And this is what I love about the story. The potential. The opportunity. I think about this, and I think about this in your life, and my life, and how this could forever impact. And if God would, there we are in the midst of our storm, and God says, and He put something in our heart to take a step of faith, to walk on water, if you will. And it starts with one step, but I just look at the potential. The opportunity for the glory of God. What could be accomplished? And that stirs in my heart. That moves me. That takes a little boy growing up in Western New York at the age of 10 or 12 in there. Hearing a man like Brother King preach, they come and they surrender their heart to missions, and God takes a little life and molds it into changing a country, a city, a people for His honor and glory, and that just overwhelms me to see a little boy get out of the boat and take a step. A little girl surrender her body to be used by God in whatever way. Are there doubts? Absolutely. Are there fears? Absolutely. Are there criticisms? Is it unnatural? Sure. But think of the opportunities and the potential of you in the hands of God. All too often we think of these things for our children. But I'm going to ask you here this morning, when was the last time you took a step out of the boat? In the midst of your storm, when was the last time you asked, God, can I come out to you? And God said, come. It starts with one step. Where is your faith? Muslims put their faith in the Quran and Muhammad. Buddhists put their faith in graven images. A humanist puts his faith in himself. A religious man puts his faith in his works. A materialist puts his faith in his wealth. But a true spiritual life of faith is only as good as its object. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. George Mueller, say, why do you keep bringing it? I would like you to study the life of George Mueller. Was he perfect? No. He was actually a hellion as a kid. A lot of trouble, and then the Lord got a hold of his life, and man, changed him. The orphanages are still in Germany, the buildings. He said this, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. Think about this. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. And he's just asking you to take one step. One step out of the boat. But our boat is our comfort. Our boat is where we feel protected and safe. We would rather stay in those walls and the world that we built in our... And God is asking of us, desiring of us, that we would have a desire to get closer to Him. But please understand, to get closer to Him, faith is required. How's it go for Peter? Well, it goes great. I mean, he gets to walk on water. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 14 and we'll finish. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. We know that walking starts with one step and it's a step after step. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Hey, the reality and the humanity of faith sometimes, our personal views sometimes cloud those things. And even in the midst of a life lived by faith, and there we are walking for the, if you will, by faith for the cause of Christ, every now and then we lose focus of the Lord Jesus Christ. We begin to look around us and think, what on earth am I doing here? And the Bible says we'll sink. When you lose focus of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, and you think in your own strength you're standing there, you will sink. Thankfully, he's not far off. The Bible says this. He was close enough to reach him. Verse 31. The cry for help. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. I'm thankful for that word immediately. There's some things, sometimes we get scarred as a child. My mom thought it would be great for my sister and I to take swimming lessons. Remember our swimming lessons? Horrible. Say, why? What would happen? They would go, there was a little fence. She would drop us off and then come back within, it felt like forever. We were little, and they would strap these styrofoam bubbles to our back. Remember those styrofoam things? And they would take us to the deep end and grab us, and that's what it felt like, and just threw us in. And there we are, trying to swim. It was awful. To this day, say, what happened? Mess me up. I don't know how to swim. I think every swimming excursion is going to end in drowning, because that's what I was brought up with. I'm thankful in the midst of us being in over our head, the Lord is there to immediately catch us. I don't like the feeling of my head going underwater. I don't like the feeling of my life going underwater. When I run into trouble, when I lose sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, not one time does He ever say, I'm sorry, Nick, you're on your own. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him. When he called for help, he was there. Can I encourage us? Yes, in the midst of our storm, we are prompted to prove the Lord, to prove ourselves, to prove our faith, to take just one step out of the boat. But understand this, He is right there to catch us. Don't lose sight of the Lord. It's an interesting thing. This is actually a repeat lesson. How so? Bible says this. I thought it was strange that Peter asking the Lord, Peter prompted the conversation with Christ. and said, if it's really you, bid me to come out. You know what I think? I think that's amazing faith. When he catches Peter, he says, oh, ye of little faith. Oh, if that's little faith, you know how much faith I have? Zero. I'm in debt to faith. I owe faith. If that's little faith, that phrase isn't just here. He says this, when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 8. Same book. Maybe a year previous. Look at verse 23. And when they were entered unto a ship, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. You remember this story. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto him, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Sometimes the storms of life have a way of scaring us. He says here in the midst of all this, he says, O ye of little faith, almost same scenario, in the midst of a storm, lose sight of Christ, and we get anxious and worry and fear and doubt. Can you see the parallels in your own life? In the midst of the storm, what happens? We get fearful and scared and doubt, and it's lesson after lesson. Hey, they missed it in Matthew chapter 8, or maybe they just forgot, just like you and I. I encourage you here this morning to take a step. If God is who He says He is, without faith it is impossible to please Him, then we almost have no business being in the boat. When was the last time you took a step of faith? Let's all stand. Say, Pastor, I've tried and I feel like I'm overwhelmed. How about you ask for help? How about you ask for help? Don't lose sight of the Lord. I would like to read that quote again from George Mueller. Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. It takes us taking a step out of the boat. In a moment, the music's going to play and we'll have an invitation. Maybe you want to come and talk to the Lord about some of these things. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time.